Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the CBC Unspoken Podcast. It's Tyler, and I'm back with the final episode of our Easter series, when we're going to talk about the resurrection. So in the previous two episodes, we talked about the need for a sacrifice in the Old Testament and how Jesus is the sufficient sacrifice for us today based on his identity as the Lamb of God. If you haven't checked out those other two episodes, I encourage you to go back and listen and see why his crucifixion was necessary. And just to put it back into focus, the purpose of this series and this Easter study series is to dive deeper into the topic of sacrifice, and more specifically, Jesus' sacrifice. So based on the other podcast, since we know that Jesus was the Lamb of God and he died for our sins today, I want to talk about why it was necessary that he rose from the grave. Why is it necessary for a sacrifice that lived again? So when thinking about Jesus's identity as the Lamb of God, I was curious as to why he needed to rise again. I know he gave himself as a sacrifice, but all of the sacrificed animals in the Old Testament remain dead. And though their blood appeased the Lord, they remain dead after the sacrifice. So why couldn't Jesus Christ be the sacrifice for our sins of the world and yet still remain dead? That's the question I had when studying Jesus' sacrifice. Why must he rise again? And so the first thing that kind of came to my mind is we have to recognize that Jesus wasn't just a lamb. He wasn't just a lamb without blemish. Jesus was the Lamb of God, the spotless, perfect Lamb that came to save the whole world. And he wasn't just an annual sacrifice for the Israelites, but a singular sacrifice for the whosoever. His blood was more powerful than all sacrifices performed before him. However, he was so much more than just his death. Yes, his sacrifice for everyone was the main priority when coming to earth, but he was not only here to die, but he also needed to fill the complete will of God. Pastor Mike talked about on Easter how he came here in order to die for our sins, and that's completely true. But he didn't come just to die. He had other purposes as well. As Jesus taught us multiple times, he takes on many responsibilities. John the Baptist calls him the Lamb of God, and Jesus refers to himself as the door of the sheep and the shepherd. He's not just the lamb. He takes on other responsibilities. He refers to himself as the light of the world, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. And he refers to himself as the vine, among many other characteristics. Though all these coincide with his sacrifice, I learned as I was looking into this that we shouldn't limit his impact to just his identity as the Lamb. He purposefully reveals that he has more responsibilities as the Son of God. Performed miracles, he healed the sick and the blind, forgave people of their sins, he creates intercession for us, among many other things. His purpose is eternal, and his resurrection from the grave was to prove his deity and power over death and hell. He didn't come just to die, but he came to bring life eternal. One of the parts of scripture that I was reading when I was studying this out is when Jesus was praying to the Father before his crucifixion in John 17. And we actually talked about this on Sunday school here recently. But Jesus tells the Father that he had finished the work which he gave him to do. And this is before his crucifixion, meaning he had other works he had to do besides his crucifixion. And I'm going to read these verses real quick. It's John 17, verses 1 through 7. It says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee." Jesus had a crucial responsibility to make known who he was before he was to die. So Jesus had a lot more roles and a lot more on his shoulders than just to, be born and then die again. He had to make known who he's dying for. He had to make known who sent him, who he has a relationship with, the Son and the Father, how they have a relationship, and how he comes to glorify the Father and glorify God. So his sacrifice is necessary, but he's not just a animal sacrifice. He's not a temporary sacrifice. He's an eternal being. And that's one reason that I think, that's one reason that I found that, Jesus had to rise again from the grave, is because he wasn't just a material sacrifice. He wasn't just from the world. He is the Son of Man and the Son of God at the same time. He's divine and has deity. So to kind of limit him to just a sacrifice is kind of It falls short on how I believe Jesus Christ was on the earth. His death and his resurrection are an essential part of his lifelong purpose. And we'll go ahead and start getting into his actual death. But how better to prove his power over death, hell, and the grave, but to rise from the dead himself. If Jesus promises to give life eternal, like we talked about in the previous episodes, then he couldn't simply die and remain dead. How could one claim to hold the power over death if they do not prove that they have that power? For example, if I said I could dunk a basketball, you would have to completely take it on faith that I could. Some people might believe me, and some people might not believe me until the moment I try to dunk the basketball. But it's unknown until I can prove that, right? So now if I proclaim to be able to dunk this basketball, and I'm approached with a situation in which I have to do it in front of others, if I jump a foot lower than where the goal is, then I lose any validity in my claim of being able to dunk a basketball. This is a true false claim, meaning, either I can or I can't. And this is how Jesus worked back in the New Testament is he claimed to have life eternal, but if he was to stay in the grave, then that wouldn't prove that he had power over death. You know, he that would prove he can't give life eternal if he can't live eternally. So thankfully, with Jesus and his promise to bring us eternal life, he's able to solidify his claims through his own resurrection. Based on his resurrection, we can see that it was necessary to rise from the grave to prove his eternal power over death. Jesus reiterates this in Revelation. I'm sure we all heard this, but in Revelation 1:18 it says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And having the keys of hell and of death." All right, so that's obviously after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. So he tells us again that he has the keys of hell and of death. Because of the evidence of his resurrection and the proof of his claim, like I mentioned earlier, we can boldly say that Jesus was not a liar. So in a book I've read called More Than a Carpenter, it's by Josh McDowell, the author goes through an evaluation of Jesus' claims and actions, and he proposes the statement that Jesus was either Lord, liar, or a lunatic. And this is the dilemma that many people face when considering the historical past of Jesus. We talked about the historical context of Jesus back in the Islam series, so I encourage you to go back and listen to that as well. But Jesus existed in history. I mean, there's a lot more evidence to support that Jesus actually lived and was died than there is of, say, Alexander the Great. But many people believe Alexander the Great, but they may not believe in Jesus, where there's a lot more historical artifacts and historical evidence and documentation of Jesus's life than there is of Alexander the Great's. And I'm not going to go deep into that, but this is one of the things that is proposed in this book, is people who know about Jesus but don't know him personally, they either think he was a liar or a lunatic, or us, we believe he's Lord, but he falls into one of those three categories. You either believe he's Lord, a liar, or a lunatic. Like I said, for those who know Jesus existed, they fall into one of those categories of believing he was Lord, liar, or a lunatic. I'm not going to go into detail on the book, but I would encourage you to read it to strengthen your faith. Anyway, I say all that to say, that Jesus would have been a liar if he didn't rise from the dead. Multiple times in the New Testament, he prophesied that he would be crucified and that he would rise again from the dead on the third day. For the purposes of time in this episode, I'm only going to cover some of Matthew's accounts of these claims by Jesus. In Matthew 20, Jesus prophesies of his betrayal, crucifixion, death, and resurrection to the disciples. In Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19, it says, "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." And later in Matthew, Jesus reiterates this to his disciples, that he will rise again on the third day, and he actually tells them that they'll scatter after his death, but he'll come see them once again once he's resurrected. In Matthew 26, verses 31 through 32, it says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." In in Matthew 27, you can see that the Pharisees even knew that he spoke of his resurrection as well. They even tried to put up provisions so that he would not come out of the grave like he had promised that he would. Matthew 27 says, verse 62 through 64, it says, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first.'" So you can see how Jesus has boldly proclaimed that he's going to rise again. Even the Pharisees knew, and they tried to keep him in the grave so that he wouldn't fulfill this prophecy that he said, or he wouldn't have other plans set up to take his body whenever he's buried to make people think that he had risen again. So there were, it was known by the disciples and the Pharisees that he had claimed he was going to rise again. If Jesus had remained in the tomb, even though he sacrificed his life, he would have lost all credibility to those who heard his words about his death and resurrection. Not only his death and resurrection, but if Jesus lied about this, who are we to trust anything he said up until this point? So if he would have just died and stayed in the grave, he would have been considered a liar because he had proclaimed that he was going to rise again from the dead. And he would have also lost credibility in his claim that he was God, because God cannot lie. And if Jesus lied, he could not be God. Therefore, he had to rise from the grave. Again, proving that that his word is true, that what he said, he is just, and he will fulfill what he says he's going to do. Through his resurrection, Jesus once again proves his deity and exemplifies his godly power over death and hell that no man has ever had nor will ever have. Again, because Jesus was God, he prophesied of his death and his resurrection, and he backed it up with action and fulfilled his promise to return to the disciples. If you recount of Jesus's return, or when he makes known that he has risen from the grave, he fulfills that promise to go see the disciples again, and he talks with them, and he ministers to them before he ascends to the Father. Jesus prophesied this. He told them this before he died, and yet he came back and fulfilled that prophecy. And if he hadn't done that, he would have lost all credibility among the disciples and among all the other people during that day. And you can imagine how much the scribes and the Pharisees would have loved to pour that on. I mean, Christianity would not be existent today if Jesus didn't do that, because, like I said, Jesus had to prove these things that he said that he was going to do. And it was important to show his power over death. It was important to show his deity. In that book I mentioned earlier, More Than a Carpenter, again, I encourage you to read it. I'm sure I didn't do a very good job of explaining what that book has to say. But this is another example from More Than a Carpenter, is the resurrection of Jesus. It strengthened the belief of the disciples. If this didn't happen, the disciples wouldn't have continued the work of teaching about how Jesus is eternal life and how he died and rose again. I mentioned about Philip in Acts chapter 8. I believe it was last episode. if Jesus didn't fulfill all these prophecies, then there would be no validity, and it would eventually fizzle out. But we know that Christianity has been strong for 2,000 years, and it's because of the hard truth. It's because of the evidence of Jesus's death and resurrection, and the disciples even went to their grave defending this. I mean, most of them except John was crucified or tortured or killed because of their beliefs in Christ. And why would you die for a belief that you know was false? And that's another topic that's brought up in More Than a Carpenter. And so it's important that Jesus needed to rise from the grave, again, to prove his credibility, and to show his deity to everyone who witnessed him in the New Testament. That concludes our Easter series. Again, the focus was on sacrifice. The first episode, we talked about the need for a sacrifice in the Old Testament. Second episode, we talked about how Jesus was that sacrifice for us, and how he was the sufficient sacrifice for our sins. And then in this last episode, we talk about how there was a need for the sacrifice to rise again from the grave. And that's, again, speaking about Jesus' sacrifice and why it was important for him to rise from the grave, even though he was a sacrifice. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this short series. It hasn't been super long, just a 3-episode series, but I hope you've maybe learned a little bit. I've learned as I've studied this. Hopefully this is helping somebody. If it's not, it's helping me. I appreciate everybody listening. And I guess you'll hear from us at on some later topics. I thank you for listening, and your input is always encouraged, for good or bad. I'm not gonna get my feelings hurt if you think I should have done something a little differently. I encourage the feedback. So without further ado, I'll talk to you later. All right, thank you. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world. Nobody but Jesus.